I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday. We are here for you, and we appreciate you bringing us along every day, wherever it is that you are. Today, we, the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, are joining you after a 111-110 win over Milwaukee, a game that was dominated by Giannis Antetokounmpo, but of course the Celtics, the combination of Al Horford and Kyrie Irving, way too much for the Bucks, and just kind of fun to watch the other team's star go off and still win. That's good. So and Kyrie did Kyrie things, and Al Horford's just awesome with pretty eyes.
He has got amazing eyes. More on that much later, but. Yeah, it was just a great offensive game for the Celtics, and they took everything that Giannis could give. He was trying to go supernova, and he kind of did late there in the third quarter with his 16 points. But the Celtics have their own kind of individual score in Kyrie Irving, and then they just relied on kind of what they've been doing all season is Kyrie doing his individual stuff, and then Al Horford just being a great passer, especially from the post. Him and Marcus Smart have this insane alley-oop connection that I just has come out of nowhere, because the Celtics over the past couple years were not able to throw an alley-oop. And all of that, we completely forget about Jason Tatum going 4-for-4 from three and having the most efficient Jason Tatum-like first quarter ever. And then he doesn't take it a shot in the second quarter. So it was a very entertaining game. Giannis does things that are just absolutely absurd. I mean, he scored 40 points tonight, and I think Al Horford did an amazing job defending him. So it's just a... It was a fun night at the Garden, and the Celtics just showed that even in the moments when it was close, it was still like they still had an 8-point lead. They're a much better team than the Milwaukee Bucks, and they showed it here tonight.
Yeah. The Celtics, Brad Stevens made an interesting decision that I think led to that 16-point outburst in the third quarter from Giannis. They went super, super small with Giannis still on the court, and I think when Aaron Baines was on the floor, he was doing a good job holding Giannis off. And when the Celtics had size on the floor, it seemed like they did a decent job with Giannis. And then they went really, really small. And I guess we're hoping that Semi Ojeleye could guard Giannis, and nobody could guard him at that point. And he just went off. I don't know, a little bit of playing with fire there. I guess if we remember that last game on the road, Ojeleye did actually hold his own against Giannis. So I think Brad was probably trying to recapture some of that magic, but, you know, interesting decision there. Another interesting thing, you talked about Jason Tatum. He, in the first half, was on fire. Just 5 of 6. The only shot he missed was that half court, basically end of the half heave. And all he did in the second half was hit one free throw. Didn't even attempt a shot. That's weird. Just a weird thing.
It's quite weird. But like the reason he got so many open shots in the first quarter is the Bucks were playing this super aggressive, blitzing every single pick and roll, and basically just leaving guys wide open on the weak side. And Tatum was the perfect guy to kind of step in and deliver if they're throwing all that attention towards Kyrie and Horford in the pick and roll. I thought Horford did a really good job, and Baines as well, while he was in there, of kind of making the play as the role man. It's something that it's like the perfect way to counter what the Bucks were doing. And the Bucks made the adjustment in the second half. They stopped kind of blitzing as hard, And you saw the Celtics made the counter adjustment. And I think that's what made this like such a good win, is that in the first half, they were just bombing threes. They attempted 17 threes. They finished the game with only 22 attempted threes. They just completely changed the style of offense. They took what the defense gave them as kind of like a football mentality, but basically just you take with the defense to you, and they have the ability to exploit it either with the great ball movement we saw in the first half or the more kind of structured, slowed down pace that we saw in the second half. So you're right. It's odd for Tatum not to attempt a field goal in the second half, but you know what? He's doing a great job of being very patient and playing within the offense and not forcing up shots. So he took the shots that were open. He did some nice pump fakes and kind of sidesteps to get some open threes tonight, which is a part of his game that I hadn't seen yet. So it's always nice to see him kind of open up a new wrinkle. But then in the second half, it turned into more of a slowed down pick and roll game. And that's where Kyrie Irving definitely excels. That's where Marcus Smart and Al Horford excel, throwing alley-oops left and right. And then as for Giannis, they contained him. Like the rest of the Bucks really didn't do anything other than an occasional Eric Bledsoe three or Malcolm Brogdon three. The Bucks really don't have anyone else on their roster who can hurt you. I'm looking down right now. I'm shocked to see Chris Middleton at 19 points because I really feel like he didn't do much tonight.
Yeah, this is like the standard, I think, way to approach a team where there's one dominant superstar and a bunch of guys who can be good but really need that dominant superstar to get their own offense off. The way to handle that is you play that superstar one-on-one. You don't overreact. You don't put yourself in situations where you get into rotation, because once you do that, you screw up. Like there was one play in the second half, I forget exactly when, but Ogilvy came over to help out. He came way far over, and the easy pass was made across the court to his guy. He just no time to react, and ended up being a three for Milwaukee. That you don't want to do that. You just play that superstar one-on-one, stay tight on those other guys, and so what? This is a great example. So what if Giannis scores 40? He did score 40, and they only scored, you held them to 100 points and you scored 111. You know, you held the rest of the team to basically what his a little bit more of what his output is. If you can kind of hold that one guy down, like I'm sorry, if that one guy goes off and you hold the rest of the team down, then you're fine. So that's how it kind of worked out. And Middleton had like a hot stretch, but you know, you look at the rest of these guys, 8 shots for Tony Snell, 9 shots for Bledsoe. He hit a bunch of them, but, you know, Maker did nothing. Malcolm Brogdon shot like shit. It was, I think that's kind of how you play this. It's like you go back to the old Dwight Howard days when the Celtics had the big three, and that was you put Kendrick Perkins on Dwight Howard and you say, whatever happens, happens. And that's how you deal with superstars that are the only superstars on their team.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting with a player like Giannis who doesn't have the best outside shot to I think despite the fact that he scored 40 points, I think Al Horford, who was the primary defender on him most of the night, did a pretty good job of just containing him. I think it's easier as a team to defend someone like Giannis who you know is not going to like pull up. You could see Horford just kind of meeting Giannis at the base or at the foul line, giving him some space. And you know what? Giannis goes into his crazy spin moves, or he's so long that he's going to, like, most of the time he's going to find a way to finish around the rim. But kind of the ability to drop back and not really have to worry about his shot, I think, makes it a little bit easier for the Celtics. So you see Giannis has to be surrounded by a lot better shooters just for the Bucks to be successful, just because passing the ball up to Bledsoe or Tony Snell, I mean, they're all right, but it's just he draws so much attention to the middle that without like knockdown shooters from the outside, I just don't see how the Bucks can be successful. And then, I mean, Giannis, I think he expended so much energy in that third quarter and trying to bring the Bucks back. Well, you saw he was just exhausted in the fourth, and you saw Kidd have to take him out. And you think the Celtics second unit struggles to score. I mean, the Bucks without Giannis really it's tough to watch. They just really have no consistent offense, and that makes sense. I mean, most of the times they're just like giving the ball to Giannis and watching him work. But the Celtics second unit, especially in the second quarter, I thought did just a good job of outscoring the Bucks second unit. And I think it's one of the major reasons why the Celtics won is because you can't ride a superstar for 48 minutes and expect to kind of just come out of victorious. And the Celtics have a much more of a deeper team, a team that they can they staggered Kyrie and Al in the fourth or second half tonight, which I thought it did a better for the offense. And then in the fourth quarter, where the game kind of slowed down, it felt like Giannis ran out of steam, and it was an uglier quarter. Only 19 points for the Bucks, 23 points for the Celtics. But the Celtics, with the experience and just a little guy named Kyrie Irving, were the reason why they won. And that shot, I mean, he makes some absurd things. At this point, it was just like, I think Jay said it last podcast, where it's just like an easy 36. Well, this was a very easy 32 for Kyrie. He's just like the casualness of way he makes layups is absurd to me. And that's just, I've run out of adjectives or ways to describe it.
That's true. You know, look, the second quarter where the Celtics outscored the Bucks 28-23, there was a stretch there where, look, Giannis only played not even 6 minutes in the second quarter. And there was a stretch there where I was like, man, they cannot play without Giannis on the floor. Like, it's just, they have to play him a ton because they've got no other choice. They looked so bad. So I think that's what happened. Jason Kidd's not a good coach. Let's get that out there. He's not a good coach. But you look at what happened in the second quarter and you say, all right, I can't take Giannis out for very long. So I just he played him the entire third quarter, which I'm not a big fan of, but in the third quarter, Middleton, Antetokounmpo, Snell, and Bledsoe all played the entire third quarter. That's stupid. That's a stupid substitution pattern. You play all of your starters the entire third quarter, which means you've got to sit them down at some point. He played Snell the entire second half. I get that he doesn't have a bench, but you gotta figure something out. You gotta at least figure out, like, there's a TV timeout. Like, take Giannis out for 30 seconds before that TV timeout and give him an extended rest. You sit him down for like a minute of playing time, but he gets 3-4 minutes of rest. Then you put him back in. It's little tricks like that that seem very simple, but he's just—I don't know—he's just not good, and he's gonna wear these guys. And so what happens is, you're right. That second half, you see, instead of, you know, Antetokounmpo taking over down the stretch, he kind of fades a little bit, and only has 6 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, 6 points in a quarter. I mean, that's 24 points in a game. It's not bad, but for Giannis, who had 40, you wanted something more out of him down the stretch. Meanwhile, Kyrie's out there, you know, doing his thing, and Al Horford's dropping 12 points in the quarter. And Al Horford in the third, what do you play in the third? Six and a half minutes. So it all, if you can't manage your team's minutes, you're going to end up screwing yourself, and they're gonna end up hurting this poor kid, Antetokounmpo. They're just going to. Obviously, I have a soft spot in my heart for the Greek Freak, but he's awesome. Look at the way he plays, man. I just don't want to see them screw him up. I want Antetokounmpo to have a nice career. Obviously, you know, not good enough to outdo anything the Celtics are doing. But it's just watching them do this stuff. It's just stupid watching kid coach.
I think tonight really showed how much the Milwaukee Bucks need a player like Jabari Barker to come back, because you mentioned earlier Stevens going small. I think one of the big reasons he went small is because it basically made John Henson and Thon Maker unplayable. And that's like two guys in what was basically a 9-man rotation that included the Jet. So really an 8-man rotation. If two of those guys are basically not playable because the Celtics have gone small and are running Al Horford at center. We even saw a 4-guard lineup with Semi at the center. You're you're right. They're just going to run down, like run their players and run them out of energy. And so this, the Bucks need more guys who can kind of play in those smaller lineups. And a guy like Jabari Parker, when he comes back, actually, he saw footage of him working out before the game today. So maybe that's a better sign for the Bucks. But if two of your main, if two of your top seven are not playable in smaller lineups, that's going to make your just your team tired. You're going to be relying on Giannis to play point center basically the entire time, and I think that's just a great move by Stevens. It's playing the matchups perfectly and forcing them to go small, and eventually they're going to wear down or not be able to create enough offense. And basically, when you have Al Horford playing center, and he's I declared it tonight, I think he's the best passing big man in the league. It's really hard to stop if you're an opposing team.
I agree. It's kind of interesting. I like the take that Brad Stevens is basically going rope-a-dope and letting them punch out, because it, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, it doesn't make sense. You go small and you say, let's just, you know, do the best we can, and he's going to keep playing Giannis, and you say, all right, at some point Giannis is going to have to come out of the game, and that's where we run away with it. And they
Thon Maker did not play in the second half. John Henson only played 6 minutes. You got basically a bunch of Brogdon, Bledsoe, Snell, Middleton, and Antetokounmpo. You just got like their small lineup, and the Bucks are quite long, and they can kind of get away with that. But you're basically just forcing the Bucks to play a specific five guys for an entire half of basketball, and then their one sub at that point is Jason Terry or 3 minutes of DeAndre Liggins. It's just not a deep bench whatsoever. So I think, and the fact that the Celtics can run out lineups where only one of their starters in the game, and you can get, you know, Daniel Tice just had like a very solid 6 minutes in the second quarter. You have Ojale coming in and just giving you 12 solid minutes. The Celtics have, and it's one of the things that I've been very impressed with the Celtics over the past couple of years, is just how deep the team is and how versatile they get. And it makes sense, like that's how you'd want to design their roster. But in games like this, I think it's very important just for you to run out and match up against a bunch of different teams. And even though Bane's only got I'm shocked to see he only scored 15 or only played 15 minutes tonight, but I thought he had a great first half with 8 points and a number of good passes. It's just, you know what, they have the personnel for basically any matchup, and it's one of the reasons why they're now 22-4.
Yeah, I thought Baines was huge in the first half, because the way the Bucks were playing the Celtics, they blitzed Kyrie every time he got the ball on pick and rolls. So they got the ball out of his hands, but the Celtics smartly were setting those picks very high. So they would start the pick and roll at basically right over half court, and knowing that the Bucks were trying to blitz. And what that does is that gives you more room on the floor to play. So once Kyrie got the ball out of his hands and it went to Baines or Horford, basically those guys now had a 4-on-3 situation with a lot of the court to play with. So that is a pretty smart offensive move. Those little things of where you set the picks just changes the entire dynamic. Because they could have set it at the top of the key, and then Kyrie gets run out further out, and it's just more bunched up. So, but whenever Baines got the ball on those blitzes of Kyrie, he made the right decision. He was either hitting that little jump hook, or he was making passes. He had a nice little touch pass to Horford on the baseline. He was really just key, not just scoring, but running the offense. You get the ball to Baines, and he could just distribute and have things flow through him. He did a very effective job of that in the first half, especially he and Horford in that role basically forced the Bucks to change how they played Kyrie. And once Kyrie didn't have double teams coming at him, then they were toast. And you could see it coming. I said it in the first half. If they stop doubling Kyrie, which they had to, he's going to have a 20-point second half, and he had 19 in the second half, because there's nobody on that team that's going to stop Kyrie, and he just becomes this untethered, you know, basketball wizard. And you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. They really had no way to play Kyrie at all. One thing failed, then they did something else, and that failed miserably too.
Yeah, there's no human way to stop Kyrie Irving at this point, especially Especially after the first half where you basically you do everything you can and it's like, oh, you make two passes and you have a wide open you pass it to the most efficient three-point shooter in the NBA right now, Jason Tatum. It's this, the Celtics offense is clicking on all cylinders, and I thought they did a better job on defense tonight in certain, especially in the first half. I mean, once Giannis decides to kind of go supernova, there's not much you can do, but it was just an all-around a very solid performance. I thought they did a much better job of kind of getting the ball side to side in the first half and then getting back to that pick and roll. Can we just talk about Marcus Smart as like how he's turned himself into the best pick and roll play creator or passer of, I don't know. I was about to say all time, but like that seems a little excessive, but his
ability. Okay, Tommy.
It's hard to like avoid hyperbole, but his points per possession as a pick and roll ball handler. I know that's an actual stat that people keep, but it's got to be around 12. Like him and Al Horford have developed this insane alley-oop connection that I did not see coming. But Marcus Smart does such a good job of probing the defense, getting a guy on his back, and engaging the big man that. And I thought the Bucks played some pretty bad pick and roll defense tonight, especially with Giannis in the pick and roll. But you know they did a great job, and that I think there's a stretch there. I think it was in the fourth quarter where they just ran that play, the Smart Horford pick and roll three times in a row. The third time I think it was a turnover, but it was just it felt like the Celtics could do whatever they want. And Marcus Smart, Al Horford has the amazing eyes, but Marcus Smart has the vision, man. He has some really like just. He knows exactly what he's doing out there. He makes the right decision most of the time. I've just been very impressed with his development, especially this season, with playmaking.
Yeah, I think Marcus Smart has done. I'm a big fan of, like I said in prior podcasts, I'm a big fan of Point Marcus. I think he's Point Smart. I'm a fan. I think he can pass very well. He reads things well. And he does just an overall good job. If he's being selective with his shot, then he does a very good job running the team, and I love him as a backup point guard. Why don't we use this opportunity to get to some of these tweets on the Rain and Jays hashtag, because one of them from Ben Gates is, this Marcus Smart, Al Horford pick and roll is poetry in motion. And from @AwfullyWilfred, Smart can't score, so he makes Al Horford score for him.
There was one play where Smart took it, a real aggressive layup, and it was off the backboard, and Horford put it back in. And I was choosing to believe that that was a pass by Smart because it worked out perfectly. And if not, it was a very ugly layup attempt.
Yeah, well, I think he I think he kind of got caught on one. He had to try to go up on the other side and. Kyrie could pull it off. I think he tried to do like a Kyrie adjustment in midair, and Smart just can't pull that off. It ended up being a hell of a pass, basically, to Horford. Speaking of your declaration, @ZachManManMan, is Al Horford the best passing big man in the league? You say yes. Is he a better?
I would say so.
Is he a better passer than KG?
Ooh. Ooh, I don't know.
I'm going to say no.
He might be.
I'm going to say no. I think there's a recency bias here because we're watching Al Horford drop these sweet, sweet dimes. But KG was the best passing big man. Like, he might be one of the best passing big men of all time. Now, Horford might be too, but I think KG, like, you go back and you see some of the passes he was making, you're like, oh, right, yes, he was. And that's saying something because I think Al Horford's a pretty goddamn great passer. So, but I still give the edge to KG.
Horford pulled off some things tonight that were, like, just made my mouth drop. There was one where he had to, like, went from dribbling a one-handed pass in transition to hit Tito for a three. And, of course, he knocked it down. Tito, three sticks. The most impressive one, I thought was just a touch pass where he found Kyrie Irving for a back cut that was just, it's like, takes so much basketball IQ and just to know exactly, like, to be able to make that reaction that quickly was awesome. And then him just in the post, like I think Dan Greenberg from Barstool tweeted out, it has to be a sin if you don't cut to the hoop when Al Horford has the ball in the high post. Just he's just always has the patience and makes the right decision. And there was one play where it looked like he had to go up with a shot, like a contested shot with Giannis guarding him. And he like last second hit Kyrie with a back cut. It's just he consistently just makes the right basketball play. And it's just like you want to like park the youth of America down in front of a television just so they can watch Al Horford play basketball so they can do it the right way.
I remember last year especially that every time Al Horford posted up, I tweet incessantly saying, cut to the goddamn basket. When Al Horford has the ball in the post, he wants to pass it. Al Horford never, not once, gets the ball in the post and says, I'm going to shoot first. He always wants people to cut. He always wants to make the pass because he's fantastic at it. And I don't know. Well, Kyrie's doing a hell of a job at it. People should be doing all the whole thing. When he gets the ball in the post, cut. In fact, I would say when anybody gets the ball in the post, that should be an option that they're running behind the play. Just so much focus on the guy with the ball in the post. Just simple things. Cut. If it's not there, just clear out and let the guy do some work. So, but yeah, Horford, hell of a passer. Let's see. What else is on this? At Awfully Wilfred. Giannis is ridiculous, but so is Kyrie. Yeah, Kyrie. Awesome. Ridiculous. Micah Malloy was counting Mark Morris's... First of all, in the box score, my box score, and the play-by-play, it says Mark Morris.
Like, I've figured this out. This was a major thing that's been confusion to me. It says Mark Morris because those are like the least amount of letters you need to uniquely identify Marcus Morris as an NBA player because of Markieff Morris. So right. That's how they like list them. I think they should just change it to Mook Morris because it's the same amount of letters and it would be badass.
Yes, I agree. So Micah was counting and said Mook Morris with his second assist of the year. He is not a big assist guy, but he is averaging 1.5 assists per game. Tonight, he had 2, which brings his season total up to 22 assists on the season. So, there's that.
Hey, he threw an alley-oop to Daniel Theis tonight.
Yeah.
He had, like, and his second assist was even better. He, like, engaged the defense, got into the paint, and then found Kyrie Irving in the corner for a wide-open three, which he knocked down. I was very impressed by Marcus Morris's passing tonight. And you know what? I recently found out that I'm blocked on Twitter by Marcus Morris, and I don't know why, but
what?
I think it probably has something to do with my disparaging remarks about his passing. But he should know that in context, I love that he doesn't pass. It's one of the things that makes him him. So if anyone can get a message to Mook Morris that I'm a huge fan of his and his I don't know. It was shocking to see. It was kind of a disheartening moment. You know what? So it happens now. You know what? All of a sudden, you get on the best daily Celtics podcast. You start making nicknames happen. You get players blocking you. You know, things are blowing up.
Yeah. What's his Twitter handle again?
I think it's just at Mook Morris 2.
Okay.
Maybe he's blocked you too. Now that would be a wild turn of events.
That would be a wild turn of events. I don't see him on here. I thought I had him on my list, but I could be wrong.
He doesn't tweet. I mean, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But you know what? I was a bit shocked.
Well, but now I need to know. Has he blocked us? Has he blocked the Rain and Jays?
That would be bold. That would be awesome.
Marcus Morris. Nope. I got him. Sorry. Oh, well, just you. Anyway, moving on. And this will transition us into the junk drawer because at Celtics593 says, I want to see John do that Greek dance. It's Greek Heritage Night. Giannis Antetokounmpo in town. Celtics, you know, all the Greeks in Boston, not me, but we're out there to basically, this is a best case scenario for the Greeks. You saw a dominant game by Giannis. He scored 40 and the Celtics won. So perfect. But let me tell you something. I am surprisingly nimble. You might see a guy, you might see a guy my size and be like, ah, he's a big lumbering oaf. Like, nope. I have surprising footwork. I'm telling you.
I think you could join the. There was an amazing dance troupe, the Sons of Alexander the Great. They had put on a great halftime show. I want to extend a big yasu to all the all the Greek listeners, all out there. I want to give a big shout out to Teddy Kokoris and George Kokoris, my Greek neighbors, who basically taught me everything I knew about rap music and video games and anything cool that I like now. It's because of Teddy Kokoris, George Kokoris, and my brother. I want to give a shout out to Demos Restaurant in Watertown. Great Greek food. It was a great Greek heritage night. You're right. I think, is that any more tweets? Because I think that's a perfect pivot to the junk drawer.
That's the perfect pivot to the junk drawer. I will say on behalf, thanks for all the Greek shout outs. Thank you. In Greece, we say, Sefarostume Parapoli. So off to the junk drawer we go.
This we might call it the Skata drawer. Who knows? Earlier in the night, Woj just was going in on LiAngelo Ball, talking about him not being a NBA player, and it just felt like really mean, and it was the best Woj, like the best version of Woj I've ever seen. I don't know exactly what was going on there, but it was fantastic. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
It was brought to my attention that too by my brother that in the last episode where I was ranting about the free snacks they give me and the free game I get to go to, it might have came off as kind of douchey. But you know what? My snack opinions about halftime are very important for the junk drawer, so I resent my brother for calling me privileged. I think the Celtics have got the message that they need to play better music at the game, but it turns out they just throw like an EDM beat below like every of the like good songs, like Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic and the like Poison by Biv DeVoe. Like they start off with these good songs and then just like throw these crazy beat drops on them, and I hate it. Like give me Van Halen 9 times out of 10 over these like crappy EDM beats. Giannis tried to murder Aron Baynes at least 3 times tonight. I think he was most successful on his last one, but there's that huge one in the first quarter that is just, you can't murder Aron Baynes. It's not doable.
Impossible.
I had a new idea. Okay, so during timeouts, they always have people come out and do like shooting competitions to win like a trip to Aruba. And it was clear that the kid doing it tonight had never shot a basketball before. And I think there needs to be a punishment if you mess up these shooting competitions. Like you should get a worse seat or be kicked out of the arena, because this was just. There should be some consequences for going out there and being like the worst shooter I've ever seen. And you know what? I think it would make the like a lot more entertaining. You just got to raise the stakes.
Sure. Like the public humiliation of botching a shooting contest in front of 17,000 people isn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, if they all chant like na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye, and then you're escorted from the stadium, that's great drama. That's what I want came to a game to see. I just want to give another shout out to Sleeveless Tice with a spice. He had a Euro step, which because he's European, I think we just call a step, and then a block, and then an alley-oop. I stole that joke from Chris Forsberg. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, did you see the video of the bench reaction during the Euro step?
Oh, yeah, they went wild.
They went nuts. And go search for that. I retweeted it. Yabusele's reaction was priceless. He did the big, exaggerated Euro step mime. It was awesome.
You know what else was awesome? Was the open the first or the second half, Kyrie off the backboard to Jaylen for an absurd dunk. It was called a foul, but it was like, and the points didn't matter, but it was just like pandemonium in the garden. It was absurd and people were going crazy, and it was just an absolutely absurd moment. And I just love that Kyrie had the gall, the unmitigated gall, to attempt that.
That was fun. I think it should have counted just out of principle.
Out of principle alone. Let's see. There's a new segment called Aussie Slang with Aron Baynes where he says something and the players on the Celtics try to guess. Today, the phrase was whoop whoop, and no one had any idea what it was, and it means in the middle of nowhere. Who knew? So,
whoop, whoop.
You just, I didn't understand it when Baines was explaining it. I can't really understand like 40% of the things Aaron Baines says, but you know what?
Okay.
I was here for that segment. I mean, I would just watch like Terry Rozier, who's electric on the Jumbotron, by the way. He's easily has the most charisma of anyone on the team. Just hear him try to explain what Aaron Baines just told the rest of the Jumbotron. I think there's a brilliant idea in itself. And then finally, Kyrie Irving, when he hit the three at the end of the game, the step back that you just knew was going in because he's Kyrie Irving, immediately ripped the mask off because he thought it was like a back-breaking timeout, but it wasn't a timeout. So we immediately had to put it back on and play defense, and it was just a very cool moment of like, I have so much swag. Oh fuck, the game is still going on, and the taking it off was cool, but the speed in which he put it back on was even cooler. So Kyrie Irving, big win tonight.
He's gotten very much like a baseball catcher with that mask. He just slides it right back on and off. He's slick with it now.
Yeah, and that's gonna wrap up the junk drawer for tonight,
and that's gonna wrap up the show too. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And if you are a first-time listener, welcome to the show. We hope you are now going to subscribe. Search for us wherever you found us. Find the podcasts of your choice. Search for Locked On Celtics. If you are a subscriber and you haven't rated us 5 stars or given us a good review, please do so. It helps us out a lot. And it helps us out even more if you share. Share and spread the word. Tell your friends. Tell as many people as possible. The more people that listen, the more people that subscribe, the higher we climb in the rankings, and it is very helpful to all of us. So tell everyone, and thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.